it's a good analogy that if people say, well, I don't have time to work out or I can't do this, I'm like, you can work out anywhere with me. Even with my dog kicking dirt in my face, I'm still going to do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am Powell Wenzel, host of the Uncharted Performance Podcast. Welcome back. We are talking about the why word, the why word being yoga. It is something that I've always told myself, I'm going to do this, I need to do this, but for some reason, my ego has gotten the better of me as an individual that likes to lift heavy weights. I've shied away from it for whatever reason. It's more, I think, more of a priority thing, not understanding the benefits or how I could actually incorporate the practice, more of a movement practice, more of a flow practice, not necessarily yoga, into my daily training, my daily life. And it wasn't until, you know, I've dabbled with it here and there, but it wasn't until recently we went on a little vacation, gone for a couple weeks, did not have access to a quote-unquote typical gym like I am very fortunate enough to do at home. So very intentfully and with intention, so pardon the redundancy there, made it a priority to do something every day while we were away road tripping. And that one thing, which you can essentially do anywhere at any time, is a movement, a flow practice similar to yoga or just yoga itself. It doesn't take a very long time. It can be literally, like I mentioned, done anywhere. And it was the first time that I can remember that I've gone back from a trip, a long extended trip or a break from training, that I came back and I didn't feel like crap. I've gone on other trips in the past where I've, you know, hit the gym here and there, but didn't do anything else outside of it. This time around, it was, for the most part, every day in the morning before breakfast, 15, 20 minutes, and in the evening before bedtime, winding down, another 15, 20 minutes, either a yoga session with the gentleman I'm about to introduce you to you guys, or just a movement practice, more of a dynamic stretching practice. And, you know, the results, I don't know, I can't say they were phenomenal, but I can't say they were phenomenal because the first time that I can recall, or if ever I came back and I didn't really feel a beat, and this was 2 weeks, and I was able to hit numbers very similar to what I was hitting right before I went on vacation. So this speaks to a few things. Again, anecdotally, I don't have, you know, hard science. I've read about it in books such as Peak Performance, in terms of being able to downregulate and take time off while still incorporating a movement practice, but it's not necessarily as stressful and as inflammatory response producing as what you might have been, and still be able to get back to that same similar mode of training as sooner than you might essentially think you can. So with that said, this week's episode features the very energetic, very exciting, very positive Sean Vieg of Sean Vieg Fitness. He is Colorado's premier yoga and Pilates instructor. He is a 7-times best-selling author and recently named one of the top workout brands by the Huffington Post. So I am very excited to have him on. Like I mentioned, he was with us, albeit indirectly. My wife Alina and I did watch his videos as our guides for our yoga practice very frequently, and we did so during our leisure trip to Iceland. Sean was also recently featured in Yoga Digest, Washington Post, Ultra Running Magazine, Lifestyle for Men, Curious.com, Pilates Style, The Denver Post, Fit Bottom Girls, The Broadway Blog, Yo Fit TV, and numerous podcasts, including Intro Performance. Sean is also a Style Hall partner and the most watched yoga and Pilates guy on the planet, and that is very true. If you haven't checked them out, we obviously look it up on chartperformance.com in the episode page, but you can just really jump to Sean Vieg on YouTube and you will very quickly find him. We discuss his background as an actor and singer, what drew him to the practice of yoga, the impact that his practice has had on him, and the benefits it can provide us, which are more than you think and more than meets the eye. So definitely tune in for that piece. Sean teaches us how to develop an intimate relationship with our mind, body, and breath, the importance of, as always, being present, and the value of body awareness and how that translates to other movement practices and our relationships. And this is, again, something that I can speak to, being moving more mindfully, again, through yoga and taking some applications from meditation and yoga to Olympic weightlifting has paid dividends for me personally, again, being a lot more in tune with how I'm feeling, what I'm feeling as I'm essentially doing the lifts and different variations of those lifts. With over 2,000 videos to date, we also get a chance to understand his creative process from both a filming and also a teaching perspective. Sean is continuing watching and studying not only yoga, but other modalities of self-expression, creativity, and training. But more than anything, he has one special advantage. Some might call it cheating that has helped him gain popularity. But to find out who she is, tune in and enjoy this episode. Take care, guys. Sean, thank you so much for joining me. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Powell. It's great to be here.
Speaking of which, we're not in the same place, but we're experiencing similar weather. And we thought it was spring, but it's not. Not necessarily.
Where are you?
I am in Cleveland.
Oh, okay. You're getting a lot of snow also?
We did last week. We kind of... It warmed up a little bit, then we had a little cold spell, and we thought we had spring here in our grasp over the weekend, but it slipped away. So it's kind of it's very Scottish weather, as what my wife and I like to call it. So it's kind of cold and rainy. So it's sort of like spring, but your version of spring looks a lot more beautiful.
Oh, this is nothing. I think you saw the video I just posted. I took a little walk. I'm like rolling up my pant legs because I'm all wet from the snow, my sweatpants. But we got about 5 inches. The sun just came out, but I'm looking out the big windows here. It's beautiful. And this is nothing. We've gotten like 2 or 3 foot snowstorms in May.
Oh, wow.
Like the third week of May. My sister, who lives about an hour and a half from here in Colorado, she even got snow in June. So, I mean, I'm sure we'll get a couple more storms. It's fun to post that, though, because people, they don't believe it. They think it's an old video that I posted. Like, no, that's 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, especially right as we're just a few days away from May. So
I know. I mean, it is getting green here, but right now everything's white. I mean, the trees are covered. Tomorrow's going to be 60, so it'll all melt. Okay. That's how it goes in the mountains here.
Where exactly in Colorado are you?
I'm about 45 minutes west into the mountains from Denver.
Okay.
Outside of a town called Evergreen, Colorado.
That sounds like a lovely place, Evergreen.
It is. I love it. We moved from Florida, so this is definitely a change, but we love it. Used to spend a lot of time, or we still do a lot of time in Montana, and this is rather similar. We're a little higher elevation. Our house is almost at 8,000 feet above sea level.
Okay, what prompted the move from sunny Florida to sunny with a chance of snow, Denver?
Well, my wife Jillian and I we had talked about moving for a while. We had been in Florida, and you know, Florida was very good to me. But hot and crowded and not really seasons. It's just hot and kind of hot. And then you get some cold weather, but we wanted to go to the mountains, and we looked at Montana, and we came here because her best friend lives in this area also. So she came up to visit, and she fell in love with it and brought me up, and so did I. And, you know, you're up in the mountains. We're in the Front Range, but you're still, if you want, you know, like a big metropolitan area, Denver isn't that far away. But I like quiet. I like a lot of privacy. So we live out kind of, you know, in the hills, have a couple acres, a lot of woods around us. And because I work from home a lot, I love having setting.
So that's with our connectivity in terms of technology and your growth and just presence on the internet, you're not that private, quote unquote, right? Because a lot of people have access to you now.
My brand is Sean Veek Fitness. I'm always putting it out there in a lot of different forms.
So being a private person, was it a challenge to open yourself up to the whims of the worldwide webs?
You know, not really. Like my private life at home, I spent a lot of time by myself and with my dog Addie, who you've seen videos. But I come from a background of, I was in professional theater for many years as a actor, did a lot of singing, and even, you know, got into dancing because I had to. And when I was younger also, as a kid, we had a video camera, and I did home videos all the time, whether by myself or with my friends. And so, you know, once I started getting myself out there a lot more in terms of especially doing videos, workout videos, that came pretty naturally to me. It was a very natural transition.
What's a better setting for shooting and recording videos, Florida or Denver?
Oh, they're both great. You know, Florida was nice other than the storms, you had to, you know, for about 6 months, you get these massive thunderstorms that would usually roll through in the afternoon, and you'd have to gauge it because I would usually head out on my bike. The town I lived in had a lot of really pretty parks. So that was what would get in the way there is the storm. And sometimes it looked really cool if I was filming and it got really dark and the background started to rain. But yeah, I mean, it's hard to compete with Colorado in the mountains because you can find these views and these peaks and these lakes. Like yesterday, I was out with Addie at a new hiking area, and I found this spot, and there's a million of them around here. So I would definitely say Colorado.
Is it unfair for you to have Addie in your videos?
In which way?
Just the cuteness factor. And pulling people in, like little extra bait.
it's kind of a catch-22 because if I don't have her with, it's actually sometimes a little easier to film because I can hike out to a spot much quicker. I've mentioned it before, but Addie doesn't like to walk that much. Even she's better on hiking trails, but she's not the average golden mix dog. You know, that just wants to walk and walk and walk. She can be really stubborn, especially if it's an area she's been to a few times. She knows it and she doesn't really want to go. But when I'm not, you know, when I film, when she's not with me, I can do it a lot quicker and more efficiently, but I do miss her. I miss having her there. And sometimes I forget and I'll upload a video that she's not in and I'll get all these comments like, where's Addie? Where's Addie? Where's Addie? So even if she's not filming with me, I'll take footage of her and splice it in somewhere so they can get their Addie fix. But, you know, it's a real joy for me. It really is to go out with Addie, with Adelaide, and do these videos because she's very unpredictable. She enjoys it, and she's very unpredictable, you know, and I like that about my workouts. I like them to be spontaneous a lot, and she really makes it so.
It's always a pleasant surprise when she pops in the frame.
Yep. A lot of times you don't even know she's there. I forget she's there, and she'll jump on me. And it's great from – you know, because the people watching can see her coming, but I don't even notice her. And bam, she'll just land right on me with that smile.
That's awesome.
Devious. Uh-huh.
So you mentioned you were an actor, a singer. When did the practice of yoga present itself to you?
It's kind of a gradual thing. Started with more of the title of, I guess, stretching, because, I did live theater. So these are regional professional theaters, and you will do 8 to 9 performances a week. And you'll do a lot of double show days. And a lot of times you'll be re rehearsing another show while you're, performing the show, especially if you're doing summer theater or rep theater, like I did in Big Fork, Montana, or at Seaside Music Theater in Daytona Beach, Florida. And there's usually a dance captain, and they'll hold classes sometimes to get everybody warmed up. And that's where I first really started to discover the stretching. And a lot of that was actually yoga poses. Sometimes the terms get muddled together, but it was. And I started when I would go to New York City to visit friends and audition and just kind of play around. I started taking dance classes there, and there was a lot of yoga, warm up and cool down, and also Pilates. That's the first time I was introduced to Pilates. So it went hand in hand with keeping your body healthy while you were performing 7 days a week.
Got it. How did one influence the other? So how did your singing and dancing influence your yoga practice, and how did your yoga practice and the pursuit of Pilates influence acting and singing and dancing?
Oh, that's good. Well, it yoga and Pilates, it's a very intimate kind of discipline. It's your mind and body and your breath together. I've actually done videos on this because I would train a lot of people in theater also. I started doing that. I'd work with them on stretches and also weight training and stuff because it's very physical, especially certain kinds of shows. There's a lot of singing, a lot of dancing. If it's a West Side Story or a Fiddler on the Roof, these long shows, and you want to give 100% every night. So, the practice and the breath of the Pilates and yoga really helped myself and my cast members maintain, 100% performance each night. And yeah, that's a good question. I like that question. I'll have to think about that some more.
Okay. Now, how long have you been practicing yoga? How many years has it been now?
Probably about 18, I would say.
Okay.
Yeah,
How
all
ha
different types, different levels.
Okay, so great segue. So you're kind of leading the question here, actually. How has it changed over the years?
My practice, it's gotten a lot more physical and non-physical, I suppose. I've been doing a lot more. As an example, I do routines at night when I'm up here in my loft, when I'm doing some writing or watching movies or something. I've actually do a lot of nighttime yoga stretches, and I've been changing it up a lot because I noticed that you can get really comfortable with a routine, and after a while it can be detrimental because it's not balanced anymore. Your body starts to get used to it, and it doesn't your body doesn't react to it anymore. I really enjoy power yoga. I do a lot of videos for that, and when I do my own power yoga practice, it's a very, as they say, a very powerful experience emotionally and physically as well. And I start taking other people's classes more often too, which is very helpful for me. I can study videos and such on YouTube, which is nice, but to actually go to a class and be right there and be present with the instructor, I really enjoy that. I learn a lot of new things. I learn things that I like, and I also learn things that I don't like, for my own practice. That's very beneficial. But the practice has gotten stronger, definitely got a lot stronger, more consistent.
And you mean, when you mean, what do you mean by stronger?
Well, more consistent, also physically stronger. Like, my body can do a lot more. I'm going to be 44 in a few months, and looking back and videos I did 10 years ago and when I was practicing, I'm much more in control of my yoga, how I do it, my breath, my movement, my visualization. I have a much stronger grasp at it because yoga is the type that the more you do of it, the more you want to do.
Okay. Now, is there so you're in Florida. Now you're in beautiful Colorado. If you don't have the opportunity to be in either one of those beautiful places, is there a is there an ideal setting to practice yoga? Not just from a physical or environmental perspective.
Mm-hmm. Usually, you want to be comfortable. You want to feel mm-hmm. safe. That's why it's something when I film outside a lot, I have to make sure it's a surface that is conducive, you know, it's flat, and also an environment that is safe that I can do it. But, you know, I do so many videos and I ask people that question a lot, like, where do you practice? And, you know, usually it's in their house. People feel mm-hmm. most comfortable doing it in their house or in a classroom setting. Some people do it outside with me. You know, they'll send me really neat photos. They'll go by a lake. It's an individual preference, I suppose, what inspires them, where they like to be, mm-hmm. and also, you know, where they happen to live too has a big influence on it.
What inspired you to record your first video?
One of my best friends, I've known him since first grade, Stefan. Now it's Stefan. He goes by Stefan now, but you know, we used to do home videos and stuff, and I was teaching. I was living in the Orlando area, and I was teaching a lot of classes, and I was really interested in doing videos because I had a background in theater and doing videos. And this is right after YouTube had come out, but I really didn't know. I thought, oh, I have to go through like a major company or film in a studio. And my friend, he said, no, just buy a flip camera and get a MacBook Pro. You'll have iMovie and you can start filming, because he knew that I had the, you know, the hunger for it. So mm-hmm. he's like, no, that's all you need, and just start doing it. And, you know, it's like not a day had passed since it was like doing my home videos again in a way, but now it was a definite specific kind of discipline, you know, Pilates or yoga or any kind of body weight exercises. And I had the flip camera and charged up the battery. I got a tripod and my mat, and I went out to one of the parks in town where I lived in Florida and just started filming, you know, different camera angles and then editing it out. So it looks like I had four cameras, stuff like that. I'm a big film fan. I'm kind of an amateur film historian. So I study a lot of film, and even with a flip camera and a tripod, you can do all these little techniques, you know, to make it look like maybe, you know, there's multiple cameras here. And with iMovie, you just, you know, edit it out and it looks very seamless.
What's your favorite movie of all time?
Favorite movie? Oh, that's a good I mean, yeah, sometimes you say Citizen Kane because that's usually considered the greatest movie of all time. Oh, I don't – oh, gosh, I don't know. I recently saw a movie called The Searchers. It's a John Ford movie with John Wayne that was just outstanding. It's usually considered one of the greatest Westerns. So that's on the list. I don't know. I did a video a little while back where I listed like 10 of my favorite movies.
Okay.
My favorite comedy, I think, of all time is called The Bank Dick. It's a W.C. Fields movie. I'm a big W.C. Fields fan. My parents were smart. They raised me on like the real old, you know, comedians like Three Stooges and Laurel and Hardy and W.C. Fields. What's yours?
Oh, it's a great question. I always default to Fight Club. for some reason. I think it's maybe my attraction to minimalism a little bit, and living for experience rather than the things that we own. The famous quote in The Bar between Edward Norton and Brad Pitt, you know, excuse my language, don't be your fucking khakis.
And that
resonated with me, and it's actually obviously not the violence piece, but that kind of approach to life, to seeking and treasuring experience over monetary and kind of tangible things, and filling our life with things that might not provide us as much meaning.
Yeah. I consider sometimes when I ask that question, like, you know, favorite movie, it's like, well, what's the movie that you've watched the most? You know, that you, every time you watch it, you discover something different. Something different speaks to you. I quote movies all the time. They really speak to me, a lot of them. They inform a lot of what I do, like Fight Club with you.
Yeah, you know, nobody has ever actually asked me that question, or at least not recently. So thank you for mm-hmm. asking that.
It's like, what's your favorite song? Like, oh, man, it can change. You know, it's what's really inspiring you at the moment, you know, this day. It might change tomorrow. Like, right, I said The Searchers. I had to I'm reading a book on the searchers too, the whole history of it. So, you know, that's really captured my attention the last couple weeks.
No, that's a very good point. I think when you just mentioned this, it does evolve over time. It kind of where you're at that time and place and how it impacts you. But the funny thing is I was in a totally different place when I first watched it than I am now. And I never thought I would get to hear, quote unquote, when I actually watched it. My values were different back then versus what they are now. So it's a interesting question, and funny that I actually answered it that way. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. I mean, all these things evolve. They really do throughout life.
Yeah, very true. So actually, let me actually pull on that thread a little bit. And over in your, you know, 18 plus years of practicing yoga, how has it impacted you? And on both physical, mental, and even in terms of relationships?
Well, it's given me an opportunity to film. I love filming. Uh-huh. I love the whole process of filming. It reminds me of being a kid. I think most of the things we do now as we get older, we do them because there's something rooted in childhood that gave us joy or inspiration. And I always remember as a kid rolling out of bed and playing all day. You know, I grew up in California and Wisconsin and being outside playing. And filming is like that a lot for me. That's why I can't film indoors. I do once in a while if the weather's really bad, but I love being outside. I like the process of planning and creating a yoga workout, a yoga flow, and then getting everything together, including Addy, and going out. Sometimes I know where I'm going to film, and other times I have an idea. I'm like, I think there's something up in this area on top of this mountain or something. But I really love that opportunity to do that. Filming for me is very therapeutic. Sometimes it's hard to explain, but it gives me a chance to say whatever's on my mind, to share something that I'm really feeling passionate about, and to train. Well, you know, even if it's through YouTube or my app or something, is to be able to work out with somebody anywhere in the world. So that's one of the big bonuses of that.
Did you ever think you would become as popular as you have when you recorded that first video? Was that the intention?
That's a tough question to answer because I did it because I really wanted to do it. I really enjoyed it. Uh-huh. I'm not a bucket list kind of person that says, well, I want to do this, this, and this. If I'm not feeling passionate about it and inspired, I don't want to do it. But, you know, I figured when I was doing videos that, you know, they would catch on. But, you know, in the beginning, it's a little scary because, you know, when you're doing classes, live classes, uh-huh. you know, people there. And it's a set class. But once you start firing videos out, you know, into the internet, and you don't know who's going to watch them, you know, and you don't know what kind of feedback you're going to get. But, you know, as long as I love it, and I'm always learning from it and reading more and studying more and evolving with it, I'm happy the way it's gone. I always figure, well, I'll do okay. You know, and then fitness, this business, every day new things open up, you know, new opportunities come by. So you're basically just trying to keep your head above water, especially being self-employed and having your own brand, because there's so many options. There's so many legs, you know, to this business.
And there's a ton of other individuals that are providing or attempting to deliver their own version of what they're expressing through yoga and Pilates as well. And it's beautiful to see that everybody can flourish in what seems to be, you know, a kind of a saturated market, yet there's enough abundance, so to speak, in the world that, you know, everybody can have their own little piece and still be successful.
You know, certain instructors, and I've worked with a lot of these other people online, you know, that do online stuff, and we all offer something a little different of ourselves, a different angle, a different style. You know, maybe some people might just like where somebody films or little things, whatever draws you to somebody. It is very interesting. I like to watch what other people are doing also, and I don't compare. I never do that, but I like to see what they're doing.
But that's also a great point too. So let's say we have to compare, right? Why do you think people are attracted to you, to your videos?
I can only go off of what people say. Well, as you said, Addie. basically Adelaide. Yes. That's a big one. Of course, they like, you know, I film outside. I look for really pretty spots, very expansive spots, especially if you live in a city. I've heard that a lot. You know, maybe they're working out in their small apartment. They want to see the Rocky Mountains. They want to see a big meadow. Makes them feel better. It's like when I used to live in Florida, I found myself watching Lord of the Rings all the time because I was aching for like big open spaces, you know, and mountains. And for better or for worse, the person that I am when I film is the same person I always am. I'm very comfortable with what I do. I'm very comfortable on the camera. I plan it, but I also leave it open to a lot of spontaneity because that's life. You know, I don't want to overplan something and then get mad if I miss one exercise or a flow. I like to keep it very in the moment, which, you know, is life. It's very raw in a way. And I like being outside because sometimes things happen. Like I was filming by a lake a couple days ago and a bunch of Canadian geese just landed right behind me making all this noise. Oh, this is beautiful. I love this. Because some people might do a green screen to try to capture that. And it's right here. It's real. And then Addie got all hyper and started kicking dirt up on my mat. I'm like, this is fantastic. I like that. And we keep going, you know? I mean, we keep going. It's a good analogy that if people say, well, I don't have time to work out or I can't do this. I'm like, you can work out anywhere with me. Even with my dog kicking dirt in my face, I'm still going to do it. Put that on a t-shirt. That's a good one.
Yeah, exactly. But again, maybe slightly unfair. No, just kidding. But how do you, you know, I never thought to ask this a yoga or just a Pilates instructor. How do you come up with what you're going to do in the video in terms of what you're going to do as part of that flow session?
Yeah, different ideas, you know, pop in my head. A lot of them are suggestions. I ask a lot of questions. Because I've filmed, I think I've done over 2,000 or more videos. And, you know, you can lay awake at night sometimes sweating, thinking, oh my God, I've done everything. I'm boring now. I don't know what else to do. But especially in fitness and in body weight only fitness, it's unlimited. I mean, there are so many things you could do. And I film a lot of videos and I personal train people using weights and everything else, but I gravitate towards calisthenics. But I get a lot of ideas from people. And I do a lot of research. I read a lot of books, and you can sit around and kind of space out and not get any ideas. But once you start, you know, diving into books and reading, you start getting all these ideas about what you want to do. I've been doing a lot of actual programs lately, which keeps me focused. And I know people enjoy that also, where you actually have like a 7-day program or a 5-day program. So it's something that attaches together into a flowing series, a flowing challenge, as opposed to just disparate workouts here and there. So, I mean, inspiration comes from all these different places, but I'm always watching and studying. And if I don't, and that's when it dries up, when I'm not paying attention or doing new research. I always write in my notes every night. I write out a list of things to do the next day. And I always write in there, study.
I actually have the same. I have a little notepad. That has my tactical to-do items for the day or either today or the day ahead. And always in my left and top left corner is study in capital letters, underlined multiple times.
So I write it in capital letters too.
And it's the largest word on the entire page. It's filled up, but I still make
it. You write it every night?
At least every morning, at least every morning. I sometimes revisit it throughout the day, and I kind of check things off as it relates to more kind of strategic goals in terms of what I'm trying to accomplish, be it from, you know, business perspective, coaching perspective, or just even kind of life and whatnot. So it allows me to kind of stay on track and stay focused as much as I can.
I find this. Do you find that it's very therapeutic and definite when you actually write it as opposed to typing it, like pen? I always say pen to paper. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, it's a lot more organic. and real. And I think it, for me, it's more of, it creates more of critical thinking on my part. Mm-hmm. As I'm seeing the words written out by my own hand, if that makes any sense.
And, exactly. It's in your signature. Uh-huh. It's very personal. Yeah. So it holds you accountable, doesn't it?
It does. And it's, we had Mark England on. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He's actually become a very good friend of ours. He's the founder of Procabulary and essentially the power of words and how we use them and the narrative that we state through the words that we use and kind of the reality that we create. But our most recent conversation dealt with the practice of writing and then how you write and the words that you even not only use when you speak, but also when you write on paper, which is also mm-hmm. very significant, no matter how small or how brief that piece of written material might be. So it's very interesting. It's a beautiful topic. I'm not gonna get too deep into it, but I'll connect you, the two of you, if you're interested, and maybe just point you in his direction.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
One thing that pops to mind with what you're saying is that, as opposed, like, say I have to do something and say, oh, I have to do that, as opposed to, oh, I get to do that.
Exactly. You nailed it right on the head. That's,
I do that a lot. I'll say to my wife, like, oh, I have to edit. And I love editing videos. It's a lot of work, but I'm like, no, I get to, this is a privilege to do this. This is wonderful. Let's go do it. And it makes all the difference.
Exactly. That's right on point. It's a beautiful way to summarize. There's a lot more to it, but
of course.
Yeah, but that's Procabulary. And I before I met Mark, I tended to speak very quickly without giving much attention to what I was actually saying. And then another friend, Carl Powley, who actually recently visited here too, also being really mindful of the language that you use and the mm-hmm. meaning that it has as well. So it's coming, the theme is starting to become more relevant and significant in my life. And I think that's even in your videos, and I think even within that spontaneity in those moments, mm-hmm. the way you react and the words that you use draw people in and make it more organic and attractive and personable and enjoyable to watch.
Good. I tell you, one of the reasons I read so much, I love reading, and I read all different styles. The same is in fitness. It's like cross training, but for reading, mm-hmm. Is to, one, increase my vocabulary, but also, you know, we were talking about where I get ideas, and you know, you teach so many classes and film so many videos and stuff. And I'm always looking for different ways to say things that might reach somebody else or might hit somebody else a certain way. I don't like to repeat. There's certain things I repeat, but especially when explaining, because you're always explaining, you know, what you're doing. I'm always looking for different ways to emphasize that, to improve it. So that's a lot where the reading comes in, and also listening to a lot of podcasts and a lot of lectures help also.
There you go. I forget the video. It was actually, we were on a recent trip to Arizona, and we were doing one of your videos. I forget which one. I think it was a morning flow session just to kind of wake up, and because we were a little stiff from hiking. But the way you described the certain movement with the arms, standing in a nice tall position, kind of stretching the chest, you used a very beautiful metaphor, and it just kind of I can't remember the exact words, but it just brings a smile to my face. Just thinking about it. And we were both, when we heard you say that, both my wife and I, and just to give her a quick shout out, she's the one that made the connection with you. She introduced me to you. So just all thanks to her.
Yeah. Thank you. What's her name?
Alina.
Thank you, Alina. Hello, Alina.
There you go. Thank you.
Addie says hi.
But yeah, it's the word. To what you just said. It's being able to use different types of language, but yet it's immersive, and it connects with a wider audience because different people have different kind of emotional cues, emotional triggers that get them excited about different things.
Exactly, so, and a simple one sentence somebody can say can have such a profound effect on somebody else. That's why words are power. Be very careful. You know, you can't control what goes in your ears, but you can control what comes out of your mouth. And especially when I'm filming and teaching, it's very heightened. It's heightened reality. It's like a movie. I mean, it always comes back to movies and stuff, but I write down new things on note cards for work, for new workouts a lot, along with the workout, but also, you know, things I want to talk about, different things to breathe, you know, bring up. Think of it a little differently. Here's a visual, because you never know what's going to stick mm-hmm. and really help somebody out and help yourself out too.
No, definitely agree. I was not always as open to new ideas, especially yoga or just practice of body weight movements. I've always, for the majority of my life and even more recently, I'm always struggling, I guess is the right word for this, is to incorporate yoga into my physical practice, be it again because of just maybe some sort of mental resistance or whatever reason. But I've again thanks to my wife, I've become a lot more open into making it more of a practice more often. For those that still might struggle to or be resistant to adopting, you know, be it body weight movement or yoga or Pilates into their kind of general strength training regimen. Mm-hmm. What advice would you give to those? And I'm going to call them out men. Because just from experience, anecdotally, they seem to be more resistant to incorporating something that might seem out of the norm.
Mm-hmm. You know, what's interesting is I teach live, a lot of live classes, mm-hmm. and those are usually majority women, 80, 90% at least women in my live classes. According to my statistics on YouTube, though, my yoga videos are about 70% guys.
Okay.
So I think a lot of guys, and myself included, I put myself in this category a lot too, is like to do train solo. You know, they don't like the group setting as much. They want people watching them. They might be a little more self-conscious about it. So they tend to favor the videos, and they can do them on their own time and anywhere. But, you know, yoga, you know, grab your mat and let's go. That's all you need is a mat or just a soft surface to do it. Yoga is in the practice. I could talk about it for hours. It's like trying to describe a beautiful song or, you know, I'm seeing outside my window right now, but it's like, oh, just go out and look at it for yourself. You know, that's why I do a lot of I do beginner classes and videos, because within a couple minutes, you will all of a sudden start to understand the power of yoga and how you're just scratching the surface with flows and breath and focus and control and all these things that, as you know, as years tick by in our lives too, these become very, very important. You know, the way we trained when we were 16, 17 or 18, you come to a point where you have to kind of cross train. You got to change that up a little bit because your body's going to start pushing back. Yoga is great when you're not feeling well. It's great when you feel well. You can do it anywhere, anytime, but you know, get a video, go to a class and start doing it. That's the most I can say, because I'm a big experience person. Mm. You know, once you experience it, and especially your body starts to react to it in such a positive way, it's such a different feeling than a lot of conventional workouts. Like, you know, you leave feeling taller and refreshed and energized and relaxed. And I use, you know, yoga and Pilates as the basis of my training. I always make sure I want a strong, functional, flexible core, and I want a very mobile, flexible body. And that leads me into everything else, whether it's weight training, kettlebells, cardio, HIIT training, you know, working with the exercise ball, everything. So I would say just try it. Give it 5 minutes. Give it 5 minutes and see what happens.
Yeah, and obviously we're talking to a great resource right now that has a few 5-minute videos around that length, maybe a little bit longer, maybe a little shorter sometimes.
I have quite a few. It's tough for me to do 5, because once you get going, I'm sure you know this, Powell, once you get moving and flowing, it's like, you know, hey, you know, your body. Stop. Yeah, you build. You're like the Borg in Star Trek. You know, you just keep getting stronger and stronger, your body wants more. It's like a hunger. I get that with Pilates a lot too. I'm like, maybe the first couple of minutes you're like, and then you warm up and you can't stop. Like you just keep going. You're like obsessed with it. I've had that happen a lot. Like I have to stop working out now. I'm going to be here for another hour.
Borg is a wonderful reference, and it's never been mentioned on the show before.
Yes, I've actually, my favorite are the Klingons.
Yeah,
I'd love to do a power yoga for Klingon video. One of my other best friends knows a lot of Klingon. I'd have to go to him for a reference.
we will add that in the show notes for those that might not know the reference or might be too young to know the reference.
Yeah.
But what does your physical, I guess, routine or weekly experience look like? What do you do for how do you incorporate Pilates and yoga practice into the wider physical expression that you perform on a weekly basis?
Well, my experience is a little unique in that I'm always filming. Mm-hmm. So I have to factor that in as well, what kind of filming I'm doing. So if I'm like right now, I'm in the middle of uploading a 5-day splits challenge, doing front splits, these yoga flows. So I'll go to the gym beforehand, maybe do some, strength training, weight training and stuff, and then film, the split workout after that, like go out to a field or wherever and film that. But, I'm a big cross trainer and I know right away if I'm getting complacent in my workouts. So I'll keep adding things in. What's nice is that it's like a fitness lab because, I try different things out, and if I like them and they work well for me, I'll definitely want to introduce them in videos and in books and in classes as well. But I don't think I've ever done the same workout twice.
Okay.
When I'm at the gym, I'm always moving. I have my phone on me, but that's just for music and for occasional, maybe doing, I like shooting short videos there because I'm working on a new video about, motivation and how to have good workouts. And one is ditch your cell phone. Don't bring your cell phone into the gym if it's going to be a total distraction. That's a big one. It's a little side note there, but I noticed that like yesterday I was at the gym and this one guy, he would do like a set of triceps and then hunch over on his phone for about 3 minutes and then get up and do another one. And in the meantime, I was just moving, doing all this stuff. And I left, I was done.
Yeah.
But I don't see it done very much. And I've preached on this, but you Pilates and yoga and these things, you can add while you're at the gym, maybe set a mat down in the corner, do some bench, some squats and whatever, and then go in the corner and do some Pilates, do some yoga, and just keep going back and forth because the body awareness and the breath of those disciplines will totally enhance whatever else you're doing.
And that's a wonderful point. And I'm actually going to just kind of pick on that a little bit in terms of the phone.
Because
I think it plays a huge part into also what you hope to accomplish in your yoga practice and Pilates or movement practice, that if you are, yes, you are pursuing yoga, but you then tend to be very connected to your phone or whatever else, you might be missing the benefits of what that practice provides. It is from what I understand and what I'm trying to accomplish in my practice and my pursuits in the gym and the coaching as well, is to be much more deliberate and in a deeper connected state by turning and trying to remove distraction. There are two wonderful books on this. I'm just going to mention them. One is Peak Performance and the other one is Talent Code. And it's actually science, believe it or not, listeners, audience, that through deliberate practice and being, very connected to what you are doing has tremendous impact on you physically and mentally. So if you are unable to continue that outside of the gym, outside of the park, and you might be at conflict with yourself. I think that it's a very valid point that you can connect the yoga practice and the Pilates practice with what you are doing, because hopefully it is teaching you to be a lot more aware and a lot more present in what you do. So hopefully you can put that phone down, not just at the gym, but when you are talking with someone over dinner. It is frighteningly apparent whenever we go out that if there is a moment of awkward silence or just waiting, people just jump to their phones.
Yeah.
And it is, it's unfortunate, but if you have something to teach you how to behave, maybe in a more present state, I think that is the pursuit of yoga and breathing and calisthenics and Pilates is a beautiful foundation to translate to whatever you do, be it in the gym or outside. So I'm gonna get off my high horse, but I just wanted to kind of pick on that.
It's no, very true, very true. So you know, if you're on your mat doing these yoga flows or Pilates or things like that, it requires your total attention, because if it's not there, you're not going to do it very well. It's not going to happen. So it requires 100% of your attention. These workouts, the perception of time is that time, quote, flies right by when you're doing them, because every atom and molecule that you have is focused on it. I mean, you can't do a yoga flow while holding onto your phone. You know, you can't do a yoga flow while chatting with somebody else. It's only going to suffer. So yeah, it's a great escape from all these distractions. And, you know, what you do on the mat will transfer, you know, to the rest of your life. It's something I talk about and try to, you know, work on with myself a lot also, is that, you know, the focus, that focus. Oh, yeah. I've realized through the years that that's been my biggest problem is focus. You know, I get distracted, and we let ourselves get distracted, and I'm happiest, and my purpose is so strong when I'm focused on something. And fitness enables us to really work on that and master that.
No, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Another beautiful thing is power yoga. but for those that are unfamiliar, how does power yoga differ from, let's say, and this is a terrible word to use, and I know we just talked about word usage, but quote unquote typical, let's say, yoga beginner's class?
Power yoga is a Western version. It's based on Ashtanga yoga, which is a very strenuous vinyasa flow. Vinyasa flow means with breath, you know, so it's a very vigorous flow, usually one breath per pose, and you keep flowing and flowing and flowing. Power yoga is still a mystery to me. I film it a lot. I read about it. I study it. I do it. And I'm always thinking, I think this is a reason that I do well in this field that keeps me going, is I always think I still have so much to learn about it. And I do. And it's definitely, you know, you work up the sweat, a lot of breath, builds endurance and stamina. It's a very attractive yoga for people who work out a lot. It's different than, oh, I don't want to tie myself in a pretzel, or, you know, I don't want to just breathe for an hour. You know, people that don't want to do that. It's a great gateway into other forms of yoga as well. I fuse it a lot with Pilates. I'll fuse it with other things as well. As I said, like in the gym, do some squats and go over and do 5 minutes of power yoga flows or some sun salutations or vinyasa flows. And it is a full body, full mind body workout. It really is incredible.
Do you think you've gotten younger? And that's metaphorically speaking.
Feeling younger?
Yeah. And this might be kind of a leading question too, but you seem, obviously as we speak and in your videos, you have this presence about you that just exudes youthful energy. And I think kind of going back to your earlier statement about, you know, bringing out the little kid or what we used to do as fun. But as we get older, do you feel aging backwards?
In a way, I mean, after 40, I didn't really, you don't pay attention that much anymore to some of the years, you know, but I know exactly what I need to add and maintain in my life to feel, you know, the best. And, you know, the mind and the body are yoked together. So if my body's not doing well, it's going to affect my mind. If my mind is sending poison, you know, out all the time, negative thoughts and poison, my body's going to suffer as well. And I definitely, it's a good question, because you know, these disciplines, yoga and stuff, is a journey. Mm-hmm. As I said, I feel like I'm always just scratching the surface. I always have a lot more to learn about it. And when I do, I want to share it with people. And of course, it benefits myself as well. But, you know, I've definitely leaned out physically. My mind is in a much better place than it used to be. As I said, you have these issues like I lack focus, but you don't realize it, you know, and you wonder why you keep feeling like you're hitting your head against a wall. Like, well, I'm not, you know, my mind is drifting. I'm getting distracted too easily. I'm poisoning myself. So once I got a handle, like, look, you know, as we said, you write these things down, you write them down, study, focus, breathe. And they may not seem like much, but they make all the difference. So, you know, I know the things I need to do to age, you know, the best that I can. And also it's beneficial to me too, because I want to pass that on as well.
No, it's beautiful that you say that. What other resources do you have besides the awesome YouTube channel featuring Adelaide?
With Addy. I've written 10 books.
Uh-huh.
And
that's quite a few books.
Well, it is. You know, the first one I wrote is a paperback, actually, because I was contacted by a publisher a number of years ago. Mm-hmm. As I was saying earlier, that in fitness, every day brings new opportunities. And that was one of them. I didn't think about writing a book. You know, I just don't know. I don't mm-hmm. know. It's like when I guess I can film my own videos and then upload them to YouTube. I don't have to go through a big company. I can actually reach a lot more people than actually going through a company. But, you know, I've written the books. Ebooks are great because you can self-publish them. I'm working on two new ones right now. I have an app. I have an online training program called Sean's Vault that I do a lot of exclusive videos for. And that's been going about 5 years now, I think. I didn't realize that. You know, you're enjoying the stuff so much you're working. You pull your head up for a moment and you realize, oh, it's 5 years old. And I do a lot of collaborations also with other fitness people and other fitness channels. So, I mean, I love that too. I do some live workouts and I do videos for HasFit, and I've collaborated with a lot of online people as well, which is fun. We do videos and then splice them together no matter where we are in the world.
Beautiful. And I just want to take just a moment, because I failed to do this earlier, but I just want to congratulate you on your success, but more so on your ability to share your experience and journey with everyone in a very real and energetic and positive fashion. I think we need more people like you, like Carl Pauly, like Mark England in the world, especially with all the mess that's going outside that we can't really control. It can get a little hectic, but you know, thank you for you and being in this world.
My pleasure. I mean, I love doing it. You know, as I said, if I wasn't inspired and feeling passionate about it, it would show, you know, with what I do, and I wouldn't do it anyway. Like, I'm not great at math, so I'm not going to be doing videos on calculus. You know, I'll probably make joke, you know, say, talk about it a little bit, you know, and make fun of myself for it. But, you know, a lot of words get bandied about, like authentic, but I like that I can be myself in this business and people want to train with me. I'm very honored by that.
We had a quick conversation earlier today about the hardest math that there is paper towel math.
Uh-huh.
When you go to like a Target or one of those department stores and you go to the paper towel aisle, it'll say 6 equals 8, 8 equals 20, 20 equals 36. It's very difficult math for us. We don't really know how much. This is a terrible tangent, but.
I love a good Target reference. Target.
Yeah,
I
there like- you go. you just said math. So I just thought about that conversation. So nobody really knows what an actual roll of paper towels is anymore, because 1 equals 4. But.
Check that out at Safeway now.
Yeah, there you go. Just check it out. See if you can actually see if there's a paper towel that says 1 equals 1, or this is what you get. But you mentioned the two upcoming ebooks. What else is coming up for you in the near future?
The books. I just partnered with a company called Inscribe, so all of my ebooks are going to go through them now. So I've been, which has been kind of neat, going back and going to the original files for these ebooks and doing some cleanups on them and some new edits and things like that, getting some new covers. So now all these ebooks, I mean, before they're on iTunes and Amazon, but now they're going to be everywhere, like even every library. So if you're at the library in the next few weeks, you can, you know, type in Sean Vieg and download a lot of my ebooks. And my ebooks are very, there's a lot of links in them. They're usually workout programs and things like that. So they're very interactive. And, oh, where is my list of things? I'm trying to think, you know, because every day I write down all these things I'm working on. I'm right in the middle of this 5-day splits challenge. I filmed all of them, but, you know, I do Monday through Friday. I upload a new one each day. So I'm actually looking at it. I have the Skype screen that we're speaking on, and then behind it is iMovie. Oh, that's another thing. I'm doing Adobe Premiere now, but I have to learn it because I keep going back to iMovie because it's so brilliant. You know, it works so well, but I definitely want to up my game as far as the graphics on the videos.
Yeah, if you have any questions, because we made that switch a while ago.
Really?
Yeah, so if you have any questions, once you get kind of used to the GUI, kind of the layout, it's pretty straightforward.
I hear it's very good. I mean, other friends of mine really, they swear by it.
It's like a little power tool. Like iMovie's like cool, but then this is like times 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. No, and they have plenty of videos, you know, to watch.
Yeah.
You don't have to go into a, you know, get a tutor or anything, but that's might not sound like a lot, but that's a big deal for me because iMovie's like my right arm. So I'm anxious to use something else, and maybe I'll come back to iMovie. But, you know, learning Adobe Premiere, it's the thing, you know, in this business, you can work hard to not spend too much money, but you spend a lot of time. It's time. You could hire people to do certain things. And I've tried that before, but I find that I'm never happy with them, especially because it's my own brand. I'm like, no, I'll learn how to do it and I'll do it myself. Because I want to keep doing it. And having to go through somebody else for these things, I mean, being self-employed with the brand is like, I want to do it, so I'm going to do it right now. And having to wait for somebody just drove me crazy. So it's another thing you learn along the way. If you can learn the skill yourself, it's very empowering, and you can use it for many years.
For those in our that are listening in our audience, in the quote unquote UP Nation, that are CrossFitters, Olympic weightlifters, strength training athletes that might not be familiar with your work, like I was for a while. Again, thank you, Alina. Where can they go to find you?
Well, number one would be my YouTube channel. Go to YouTube and type in Sean Vieg Fitness. V as in Victor, IGUE, IGUE, and SEAN. You'll probably have it in the notes there. Mm-hmm. That's a great place because if you're looking for a specific workout, go to YouTube, type in my name, and then beginner yoga, power yoga, Pilates, cardio, Addy. You can type in find some videos. She's in most of them. That's a good spot. Go to my webpage, seanvegfitness.com, and you can download my free fitness app. That's for Apple and Android, and that's filled with videos that you know, a lot of people love having apps. You can take it anywhere and do it. And I update that pretty frequently also. And if you really want to know a lot about me, just go to Google and type in Sean Vieg Fitness and see what pops up.
there's quite a bit.
There's a lot of stuff. I mean, I do Google myself occasionally. Because you'll find some interesting things or lists that I've been put on, you know, like favorite YouTube yoga videos or Pilates or something. So that's fun to find that, discover these little things now and then.
That's awesome. Sean, anything else before we let you go? Any closing thoughts?
Closing thoughts. I might have to go outside and shovel. It's snowing yet. I went out for a walk and it was clear. And then all of a sudden I was walking through like 6 inches of snow, and that's not really a closing thought, but, you know, as far as health and fitness, it's, you know, study, as we said, always study, talk to people. I listen to a lot of podcasts, you know, a lot of times you might feel stuck, but you know, start moving. Movement brings out so much inspiration. Breathe and keep learning. Keep learning all the time. Learn a new language. I study multiple languages. That's another thing I like to do to balance things out. It's good for my brain, and it keeps the ideas clicking away.
And there he goes, ladies and gents. Sean, thank you so much for the time.
My pleasure. It's great chat. We're just getting warmed up, I think.
No, I like how you put a nice wrapped it up and kind of brought it back to how we started in terms of the weather. So
everyone loves talking about the weather. Everybody.
Very well done. No, Sean, sincerely, I really appreciate your time and your kindness, and keep doing what you're doing, because I need it. So if I need it, a bunch of other people need it as well that probably don't know about you yet. So hopefully we can reach even more people with this conversation. So thank you.
Oh, sir. I'm sure. My pleasure. My pleasure.
Another amazing episode in the books, fam. If you enjoyed the episode, please take a moment to leave a rating and review on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. If you are new to the show, don't be afraid to check out other episodes. And if you dig the content, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. If you ever have any questions, feedback, or you just want to hit us up, please don't hesitate. Email address is contact@unchartedperformance, or you can hit me up directly at powell@unchartedperformance.com. Facebook and Instagram @UnchartedPerformance, and if Twitter is your thing, @ReachUncharted. And give us a follow and tag us to let us know who and where you are. As always, thank you for listening and supporting the podcast, and talk to you next week. Cheers, guys.